with the story of a deer being found, a deceased deer being found with chronic wasting disease by Grand Rapids. Obviously, this is an issue we have talked quite a bit with Representative Rick Hansen, as well as Jamie Becker Finn. We have talked with the representative as well. Today, we're going to bring on Representative Rob Eklund. He's Democrat of the day today. We're going to talk about the CWD, chronic wasting disease, in the deer population, something that the Democrats and a lot of good people are trying to fight, but yet they're running into roadblocks from the Republicans, which are just inexplicable, to say the least. We'll also talk about his redistricted area and his campaign coming up here this fall. Representative, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on today.
3A, we should mention the current 3A, basically runs the northeastern side of the state, right up the Arrowhead, correct?
Yeah, I like to tell people, if you look at a map of Minnesota, if without my district, Minnesota wouldn't have a point.
It actually wouldn't. That's a good way to say it. I like that. This is obviously, I mean, I imagine there's a lot of talk going on in your district. I mean, once again, the chronic wasting disease, this is something that scares a lot of people. And now it's being found up in the Northland over by Grand Rapids. They've had it also on the other side of the state by Bemidji. Talk a little bit about what's going on right now with the concern up in your district.
Well, deer hunting is such a big part of the state's fall economy. And so the deer hunters in my district are pretty concerned about this. And especially now, most of the chronic wasting disease has been concentrated in the southeast part of the state. But we have found it in and around the deer farms around Brainerd and Bemidji and now Grand Rapids. I'm not sure if there's any deer farms in Itasca County because that's not public knowledge. But the deer farms are all across the state, and it appears like they're at least contributing to some of this chronic wasting disease problem that we have in the state of Minnesota.
And we should mention that, as you bring up with the deer farms, and we've talked, like I said once before, about this a few times actually, that there's a concern that the farmed deer, and obviously anytime you have deer that are in a confined area or any animal in a confined area, they're having a problem down in Iowa right now with certain avian diseases. You do have problems with that, and that's been kind of a focal point of trying to prevent CWD is looking at the deer farms directly.
Yeah, and it's some of the things that we asked for common sense that I think are common sense things. We asked farmers to require them for double fencing, redundant gates, something like that. When deer get concentrated, they're a social animal, and they do a lot of nose to nose, and I mean, like any animals, they're sniffing and whatever they do. But these prions that cause chronic wasting disease can be passed that way. So if we would have done redundant fences, double fencing, redundant gates, we would have kept the minimum contact from the farm deer to the wild deer, and that was our goal all the way along.
To your knowledge, I mean, I don't think it's happened much. I can't actually remember this as a case. Have we had cases of CWD where there wasn't a deer farm likely associated with it?
This may be the first one, but I want to see if there are any depopulated farms that are in that task area or not, or if this is a animal that moved. A deer can move great distances in short amount of times, especially when the rut is going on. But from Bemidji to Grand Rapids, it's probably about 80 miles in a straight line. So if that's conceivable, I don't know.
It's
for deer movement.
Yeah, I don't think it's unheard of. I mean, they get the deer that go out to Isle Royal. So it's not unheard of, but at the same time, there's a lot of things. They're going out to Isle Royal because it's the only land in front of them. It's not, you got a lot of stuff there. You don't really necessarily have to go to Grand Rapids unless they want to go to the Judy Garland Museum. I don't know. But
yeah, so who knows what makes the whitetail move, but I mean it is conceivable that could happen. So yeah.
I'm going to preface this, the next question after this, by let's talk a little bit about, you touched on this. This, what is terrifying some people about this is that we do have a substantial amount of tourism dollars built around deer hunting. And when you're talking about northern Minnesota, this is, fishing opener, deer hunting. These are bread and butter. This is the time we get people up there. If all of a sudden we've got a major problem, this is going to really economically ruin a lot of areas.
You know, I retired from a paper mill in northern Minnesota, International Falls, mm-hmm. and the highest vacation request was for deer season. Mm-hmm. Wasn't for the 4th of July, wasn't for Labor Day, wasn't for Christmas, it was for deer season. And that's the thought that people have in northern Minnesota. I mean, it is like, we joke about it being a national holiday, and people that aren't from around there are wondering, what holiday are you talking about? Well, for us, it's a deer hunting holiday. So, I mean, it's important, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's huge for the economy of northern Minnesota and all of Minnesota. But, you know, obviously I'm biased to the north.
Well, but you're also making a valid point. I lived in Bemidji, and I saw tourism up there. Sure, same thing, summertime. I never saw anything like deer opener, because you'd have every bar, every restaurant, every hotel, every gas station, every restaurant. It was packed. And this is a major generator of revenue for people, especially, you know, when you don't, you know, you have the holidays, you have summertime vacation, but you need to have these special events that really get the money going in. This is why this is so confusing. It feels as if sometimes the Republicans, primarily the Senate Republicans, have been insistent on trying to. There is a very small percentage of farms in this state which are deer farms. It's not exactly a massive business. And yet, when you talk about putting in some basic common sense restrictions just to prevent a major disease from crossing over and getting into the deer population, the Republicans act as if you're asking for, you know, a pound of flesh. It really is unbelievable that they're fighting you as hard on this.
Yeah, you know, right now there's about 3,500 captive whitetail in the state, and they're spread out over about 150 farms.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of those farmers are doing it right. They're doing a good job. They have certified herds, all that kind of stuff. But you're right. Especially in the Senate GOP acts like, you know, you come after a farmer, you're attacking all farmers, and that's not what we're doing. And I said over and over when I carry these bills, I'm not looking to put these guys out of business. I'm looking to protect the wild herd. That's been my goal on this, because I know how important it is to northern Minnesota's economy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you go, we can go the other way with it too. I mean, if there was what's going on in Iowa, where they're having all of a sudden a avian flu showing up in bird populations, no one's sitting there saying, oh, well, we're not going to try to get rid of, you know, have to remove those diseased birds to try to save the rest of the populations. Everyone's like, okay, what do we need to do to make sure the entire industry isn't a complete loss for the year? It boggles my mind when you look at, especially, like I said, it's not just the farming. It's the natural herds that we have. The jeopardy for them is very real and palatable now, especially with this case in Grand Rapids. I can't believe that the Republicans are still going to be putting up much of a roadblock on this.
Well, all you had to do was watch the Senate Ag Committee hearing yesterday, and that was after the DNR's press release came out. So it doesn't matter. So
ludicrous, absolutely ludicrous. If you don't mind, since I've got you on the air, Representative Rob Eklund is joining us right now. It's a Senate or House district. 3A is the district. Let's talk first of all redistricting. How much did your district change? Are you running in 3A again, or are you 3B?
No, I'm running in 3A, and my district just got bigger. Now I will be dealing with five county boards. So I'm pretty sure I'll be the only representative in the state, if I'm fortunate enough to be reelected, that will have 27 county commissioners that'll be calling them.
Well, God. So wait, Lake, Cook, St. Louis, Kuching, is that in yours?
Kuching and North Itasca.
Wow. Good luck. You are going to be...
The good thing is there. I know all those commissioners personally already. And so if we're not friends, we're at least acquaintances. So it's not going to be a bad relationship, but it is going to be a challenge, because everybody's got their own needs.
This is part of the Senate District 3 runs down around the Duluth area there. The area is growing. I mean, it's actually a gorgeous area up there. It's not a surprise to see the population changes up there. And with that, obviously, you once again, the growth is happening. It's happening in a good place for you.
Yeah, I think it is. And especially for the B side of the district down in that Hermantown Proctor area. There's a lot of population growth there. So, I mean, that's a good thing for the state. Some of our more rural counties, we have a little bit more struggle attracting people, but we're working on one of the big things that I work on every year is broadband. And once we get better broadband in the state of Minnesota, we'll be able to attract more people to be able to work from their homes. So That's the goal.
Well, and it's a base goal too, as it's kind of one of those things where we've talked about this for years. Once again, we just had a great reminder, medical reasons, educational reasons. It's not just economic growth, which is a major justification right there, but it's a lifestyle issue that if we're going to have the quality of life that we can have, you have to have better broadband across the state.
Absolutely. So I'll be pushing broadband for as long as I'm down here.
Talk a little bit about some of the other issues. When you look at here, I should mention you're the committee chair for labor, industry, veterans, and military affairs, also on ways and mean, agricultural finance, and environmental natural resources. Talk about one of the things that you've championed for your district in the last year that you've been really proud of.
Well, what I'm working on this year is PILT reform, and a lot of our rural counties have what's called payment in lieu of taxes, and it's tax forfeited state lands that the counties are managing. Mm-hmm. And the PILT changes haven't changed in, I think it's about 20 years. And administrative costs go up for taking care of land management and stuff like that. So probably the biggest bill I'm championing this year is the PILT reform, and it's going to increase the PILT payments to our rural counties that are managing so much state land on behalf of the state of Minnesota.
It's not that, and by the way, that's not an easy job. There's a lot of work that's involved with that.
Yeah, it's a struggle. You got to make sure you get a committee hearing on it and then explain what's going on. But I think I'm fortunate that we have Chair Marquardt as a tax chair, and he was very receptive to the idea. And Clay County has a certain amount of tax forfeited land, too, that they're dealing with. So he's certainly aware of the issue.
So broadband, we've got that. Talk about another issue here that's important for 3A.
Well, I'm also working on a bill for the Association of Minnesota Counties. It's called the 404 Assumption Plan, and there's two other states that have done that so far. So when you're working on wetland permits for development, you have to, right now, the state has to submit to both the MPCA and the Army Corps of Engineers, and it's redundant permitting. They're almost exactly the same. So we're presenting a plan to have the state assume the 404 assumption process, and there's two other states that have done it so far, Michigan and New Jersey, I believe, the other one, and it's working for them. And if you look at Michigan and New Jersey, they look quite a bit like Minnesota, especially New Jersey, the western part. So I'm excited about that. You know, and these aren't the I guess you'd say sexy bills that people carry, but these are the bills that are going to mean something to our rural counties that deal with so many wetland issues.
I will say this. Anytime someone says it's not a sexy issue, generally that means it's a major issue. Just people, a lot of times it doesn't have the glitz and glamour of something else, like a stadium or legalizing gambling. But it's stuff that is day-to-day stuff that has to be done. One last thing I wanted to ask you about, though. You are in a unique district. You are on the border with Canada. Obviously, pandemic, been a mess up there. You're dealing with a foreign country trying to work around these pandemic measures. It's great. I'm glad we've been able to get that border back open again. But talk a little bit about that, because it's a tightrope walk that you got to do there.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the Canadian economy is so intertwined, especially on the border with the American economy. We used to have the joke when I was growing up that what has a turkey under each arm and smells like gas? Well, it's a Canadian shopper. And there's a little bit of truth to that, because our gasoline is so much cheaper. But by the same token, our economies are so intertwined. And that's one other bill I'm doing this year. It's called the Border Counties Relief Grant. And we're setting up a fund through DEED that businesses will be able to apply for grants if they can show a percentage of loss due to the Canadian border being closed. So it's gonna actually encounter all the counties from Cook, Lake, St. Louis, Kuching, Lake of the Woods, and Roseau, mm-hmm. and Kitson County. And because that's basically the top tier counties across the state, northern part of the state.
Well, and it's one of those things where for them, they're not foreigners. Those are customers. And if all of a sudden you can't have anyone coming from the entire northern tier, I know a lot of people in Grand Marais were getting hammered by that. And it's just, they needed people coming across that border. It's nice to have that open again.
You know, Grand Portage, one of the Indian reservations I'm proud to represent, 90% of their business at their casino is from Thunder Bay. Mm-hmm. So they've taken just a huge loss in the last couple of years. So we're doing what we can to try to help them out.
by all means, and do help them out. Occasionally I go into Canada to get Labatt's Blue, but I mean, that's about it. That's it. I'm glad they're coming in. I'm glad it's more reciprocal on our side. That's for sure. Representative Eklund, I'll tell you what, we definitely want to keep you in this district. It is a district, we should mention that these are these districts that are going to determine the control of the Minnesota House. It's right now it's a DFL district. It's not a guaranteed DFL district. It depends on the listeners who are listening to me right now. Help your local representative, by all means, in their nice, safe districts here in the Twin Cities, make a donation, volunteer, but then get up to one of the most beautiful parts of the state, the Arrowhead Region 3A, and help Representative Rob Eklund get back to St. Paul next session here. If they'd like more information about your campaign, how they can volunteer over a nice summer weekend, where do they find that?
Yeah, there's information on my website. I'm not a computer guy, but I think it's www.robeklund.com, I think is what the website is, or you can contact me directly, and I give my cell phone number out to anybody. I'm as bad as Mark Dayton, but it's 218-341-6133.
RobEklund.com. I'll link to all of it. I'll find out, make sure I link to it on the social media a little bit later on. Representative, stay on the good fight on CWD. I mean, this chronic wasting disease, hopefully the Republicans wake up and realize that how ignorant they've been. Hopefully it doesn't cost us something very dear for them to finally wake up. But you keep up the good fight, because the DFL is trying to save the state's deer population, and God bless you on that one.
All right. Well, thank you. And I will keep up the good fight.
Thank you, sir.